Hello, I'm Andy Bade from Classical 90.5 Arizona Public Media. I'm speaking with organist Cameron Carpenter, who will be in Tucson this November. Cameron, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Where are you performing right now? I ask because you have a really immense repertoire.
I'm currently performing in Timisoara, Romania, and on my way to the U.S., and it's a screening of the 1927 epic silent film Metropolis, directed by Fritz Lang.
Okay, so that's what you're going to be doing here in Tucson as well. Could I go back just a little bit now, since I believe this is your first time to come to Tucson, is that correct?
No. I played at Tucson in 2019 with the International Touring Organ at the University Auditorium.
You started pretty young with lessons, went to American Boy Choir School, then later to Juilliard, and then on to an international career. How were those early experiences formative in what you're doing now?
Essentially, anybody who expects to be a professional musician in, I hate the expression, this day and age, will have and had better have been on that pathway at the very latest by the time they're 6 years old. So the business of childhood is a rather different matter for people who either have the ambition to or find themselves pressed into by circumstances, possibly by talent, certainly by family, which you might call the classical arena. It's a complicated world.
It is that. Well, given that you've been in this world for quite a while, all of your life really, how has your perspective on making music and how you make music changed over the years?
I don't think it has changed. I remain mostly, you know, dedicated to the organ, its craft, and particularly to the classical literature. I'm not a, I don't consume or take part in any other kind of music, really. I don't listen to music recreationally. I'm not interested in popular music, except to the limited degree, of course, that it gives us an opportunity to create, say, a pop song paraphrase or something like that, although that's usually simply misunderstood as a cover. It's a very particular and, I'll be the first to say, rather oddball thing to do to become an organist. You're unlikely to meet organists who are not at least somewhat colorful people. The ambition of good organ design is to have a self-sufficient, complete musical universe. And the flip side of that is that it doesn't play well with others, which tends to attract, perhaps you can tell, as in the case of myself, people who also don't play well with others. The organ is an instrument for people who wish to be and are at their best alone.
Speaking of the organs, every organ is different, and you have your own, your touring organ, but then you're coming to Tucson to play on the Wurlitzer Theater organ here. What kind of challenges does that present to you by, you know, having to learn and adjust to different instruments whenever you go to different places?
It's endemic to the nature of the instrument. Pipe organs are purpose-built instruments, and so each one is unique. I find that aspect of the instrument to be frustrating and rather overrated in terms of significance or quality, in terms of the artistic experience. It's basically just an impediment. Ultimately, no matter how wondrous and interesting any individual organ is, it's still a medium that has to be mastered by concert time. And the idea that one can come into an organ that you've never seen before and in 5 to 8 hours play it as though you've known it your whole life is, of course, an illusion. It's an illusion that good organists get good at.
When you come to Tucson, as you mentioned earlier, you're going to be playing to this silent film, Metropolis. What inspired your interest in taking this on as a project?
Well, I've been an improviser my whole life, and it has come to represent at least a significant portion of concert offerings. It's also an area in which, from standpoint of musical marketing and infrastructure of how music is sold, improvisation is necessarily a genre crossing thing. So a musician is well advised to be able to do it, or to be able to showcase it if they are able to do it. as far as silent film is concerned, improvisation suits silent film to a degree in that good film music will be subservient to the image. I don't know that I would consider it an inspired choice. It's more of a required choice. That being said, I mean, there's a repertoire of silent films that I attempt to choose the best and most interesting ones. I'm actually not a silent film fan, although I am a cinemaphile, but it's very, very difficult for audiences today to watch a silent film in the same way that other films are watched. So films like this are onerous in the extreme. With Metropolis, you have a rare exception, which is, first of all, a fairly late silent film, 1927, a film which is made with a minimum of text, a film which was made with a maximum of political implication. There's a strong critique of capitalism. There's a strong critique of the class system. It's not to say that it's a Bolshevik film, but practically anybody who was making films of any significance in the international sphere in the 20s would have been connected to red circles in some way. So there's these interesting threads that kind of resonate down the decades with a film like Metropolis, which amongst other things makes it very timely and therefore highly watchable. It's also watchable from a practical standpoint. It's one of the greatest silent films in terms of its scope. It's one of the most interesting. So all of those things together kind of make it a practical film to undertake, and its length and its substance makes it equivalent to, in a way, a major concert of repertoire. So from the standpoint of improvisation, it's quite, it's a daunting challenge. It's a stimulating challenge to make sense for 2 hours, to not repeat yourself, and yet to also not make yourself obvious.
So is the entire score improvised?
There are small interjections. There's about 3.5 minutes of Bach, I believe, about 60% of the way through. And then at the end, I think, I'm considering using a different Bach chorale prelude, attempting to do this time here in this performance in Arizona. I last performed this in Hong Kong about 6 months ago, and that was when I really felt I got the film and also got the idea of doing this film.
Do you have any new projects or recordings in the works?
No. I'm touring more or less constantly. Mm-hmm. But recording for a classical musician at this point is essentially a pointless undertaking. There are no classical recordings now that pay for their own making. Making a classical recording as a classical artist in 2023 is an important exercise for PR, but even then it is more formatively important. If you're in your 20s, I'm now 42, I don't think that recording is really a very strategic thing to do anymore, I'm shocked to hear myself say. It's fun to do in a way. And I've been lucky in that I think I'm still today, even without having made an album in years, the most listened to organist on Spotify, but then why do I need to make another recording? I don't, you know, at the point at which you decide to make a recording, in practical reality, for me, to make a recording requires finding an instrument that you're actually excited about, going there to live with it for 2 or 3 weeks, which no recording company is ever going to pay for, and then trying to make a recording. And it's anybody's guess how much energy an artist has to expend on making an album that will sell at best a few thousand copies. So if you see me making a recording in the future, I'd be happy to do it. I enjoy the recording experience, but I refuse to pay for doing it. So when you see a next album come out, you'll know that somebody paid for it to be made.
Well, Cameron Carpenter, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule to share with us. I'm Andy Bade for Classical 90.5 Arizona Public Media.